Today on Seculo, the balance of power in Washington, D.C., too close to call.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo, folks. We are going to break down the numbers for you. Listen, there was no red tsunami last night, which means we have no clarity on who will be in control of the U.S. Senate or the House. It looks like most people predicting that the House by narrow margin, maybe like 220, maybe 219, maybe if you're lucky, 221. So that Republicans will end up, that Nancy Pelosi will be retired as Speaker of the House, and that Republicans will take charge of the House. That will be gridlock in Washington. So a lot of what we talked about, stopping bad legislation, will occur. The question is the Senate still. And I know people are down today, and I get it, because there were a lot of races that we were told by pollsters and leadership of the major party apparatuses that were in play that clearly were not. Like, the margins were just too big. And, of course, you can look at what happened in Maricopa County and say this is ridiculous that they are still – I think they still have, like, over 300,000 outstanding votes.
They're
going to
be counting votes until Friday or Saturday.
And these are votes that did not go through the machine because the 30% of the machines were not working. And that's what the number is now, because there was also confusion about – was it 30% of the locations?
And then they sent the people to a location to vote again. They said, well, you're already voting on our roll, so you can't take
your vote. So, again, that would, now, I will say this.
It's not going to be.
It's the only place in the country that we had those kind of issues.
It is.
So it was not like there was widespread any problems.
No, and Arizona, as the numbers are coming in.
Still looking pretty good. We're going to talk to Rick Riddell. Rick Riddell's going to join us. He's been all over Nevada and Arizona.
I just spoke to Abe Hemaday, the candidate for AG, and he says that he thinks that he believes he's going to win decisively. Well, decisively being like maybe plus 10,000 votes.
Which means
he also thinks that Masters is going to pull it off.
And Carrie Lake.
Yes, but like with small, like you said, like you've been saying the whole time, this is a small margin race.
But remember, if we fast forward to Friday, and we got 51 without the runoff in Georgia.
Yeah, that'd be big.
That's, don't downplay that too much, as that's a pretty big repudiation of Biden. I think what we did was we just expanded the map too far in both gubernatorial races. Now, there was some politics there because we gained some seats in New York, and I'm sure Lee Zeldin helped that.
Yes.
Like, putting the money in statewide sometimes helps, even if you can't win statewide, because it keeps the momentum up, and you've got to build some momentum. So I get that. Obviously, DeSantis in Florida had a gigantic victory, a 1.5 million vote victory, and that worked down ballot there. So his whole team was reelected. And we saw the congressional races, too, there.
In Florida. What did you think?
Yeah, I think Florida, you can maybe say, is maybe the reddest or one of the top three reddest states in the country now. If you look at that map, you really only had a couple blue spots, even at places like Tampa and Miami-Dade, obviously.
That was huge.
That go both going decisively for DeSantis. And as you said, then down ballot as well. Not just DeSantis, but DeSantis, Rubio, and so on and so on. Our friend Jimmy Petronas, he won by quite a lot. And it was interesting to see. Now, we'll see how Florida goes the next time around, but it is pretty interesting that you had such a swing from the last time where DeSantis won by, what, 30,000 votes? Some, like, almost margin of error, small.
Yeah, and this time 1.5 million.
But I think that's obviously a direct referendum and direct answer to his COVID policies. I mean, I think there's no way you can look at that and not say that's what that was referencing. That
he also built a bridge in 3 days to Sanibel Island.
Yeah.
You know, strong leadership for sure. He's proven to be the guy right now.
Yes, here's the question, which is, how does this affect him long term, you know, future? How does it affect the former president of the United States, President Trump? How does all that play in? We're also talking about the possibility of the Senate still shifting without a runoff if Nevada and Arizona go Republican. Then the runoff in Georgia would give you another seat if you want it.
Yeah.
But we're going to get into all that, and we're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Right now, if you count Alaska, because one of the two Republicans will win there.
Yeah, it's got a strange system.
Probably Lisa Murkowski with the way it does the runoff, but we don't know. That's because that ranked choice. But if you're at 49, like you said, you could get to 51 without the runoff in Georgia.
It's tightened up this morning, is the truth.
Yes. Honestly, I think things felt worse last night. Now when you kind of take your deep breath and look and say, we can take back the House almost definitely. And the Senate with a good chance. Yeah, I mean, don't. All right, welcome back to Secul. So this is where I think, again, we won't take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. What was the turnout? What was it like in your state? And did were you surprised with your, maybe it was a congressional race, a Senate race, a gubernatorial race? Listen, we have, in Arizona, almost half the vote is still out. Nearly almost half, over 40% of the vote
so
is still
Alaska
out.
Has been called for the Republicans.
Well, it's been called for Republicans.
A Republican.
There's two because the ranked choice, Murkowski and
so that puts you
Shibaki.
Right now at
49.
Yeah.
So you can, if you hold Nevada, which Laxalt's in the lead there.
Yeah.
And Masters continues the path of when these votes have come in, he keeps gaining votes, and so does like Carrie Lake, so does Abe.
You'd be 51-49 without
you've retired
the Georgia
now,
runner.
You've retired both Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in this election.
So people should not be. I mean,
Georgia, don't dance on the grave of Republican. Don't dance on the grave of Democrats yet. It's not. And again, you're not. It's not about turnout right now because you're not affecting anybody's vote.
It's just the turnout
just
was exactly what we thought.
Don't be so down if you didn't pull out every one of these these races that are in tough states if Republicans have never won before.
As you said, the polling actually showed which way it would break, and maybe they rolled wrong, but none of them were really landslide.
We were always down in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it wasn't a land.
A poll
and
ever
still
showed
a lot
us,
of people.
Think,
it showed there's a lot of people
maybe
still
tied, but never up.
It showed there's still a lot of people voting Republican in a lot of these areas. Uh-huh. Which is pretty interesting, because the media, we were talking about this with some of our team, the media would like you to believe that in some of these places there are no more Republicans, there are no more conservatives, where really the landslide states were the conservative states, were Florida, Tennessee, you know, maybe Alabama, where
Ohio,
where there's always a strong Republican race.
Won by like 20 points, and J.D. Vance won by almost 10.
Yeah, I mean, the Vance victory, and that is one that I think people aren't talking enough about, because that was something that everyone was kind of unsure about up until Election Day, but, and it was pretty clean.
What's interesting to me, though, also, and this is where the candidate choice comes in, and I think we got to talk about that a little bit, and we'll take calls at 800-684-3110. Georgia, Kemp wins by a huge margin. I mean, up double digits, I think. Is it still double digits? Well, it's pretty close. I mean, so he's up 10, and Walker's behind. That means 10% of that, it's a big number. It's hundreds of thousands of people said, I'm voting for Governor Kemp. I am not voting for Herschel Walker. That is, to me, is very interesting.
And hopefully this also puts it into the charade of Stacey Abrams and Beto O'Rourke.
I think she's done.
I think both of them
done.
Are hopefully going. No, I think both will probably run for president. I think both will probably try to go to do something else, because why not? What else are they going to do? But at least shows a definitive end to you know, her thoughts on controlling Georgia. I saw someone joke around on Fox. It was like she called to concede, and they said, what, for both elections? So remember, she was the person going around saying that the last time she ran, that it was stolen. But Stacey Abrams, I think it's an interesting way to kind of send her and Beto off into the sunset as these characters.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this, Jordan, because back on the Georgia thing for a moment. So the way it works there is it's got to be 50% plus one, right? 50%
yeah.
plus one. Doesn't look like at this point either one of them are getting it.
No, no one's getting that.
So there's only...
It's going to be a runoff. The question is, does the runoff matter? Now, of course, you want to, if you had 50, if Republicans are at 51, you would like to be at 52. Why? Because you got the Lisa Murkowski types, the Susan Collins types. It makes it a little bit easier to get things through. So it will be heated regardless. Like there will be...
And money will be...
Gigantic. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Does Ron DeSantis play a role in that one?
He could. I mean, that's the question, is will he put his big victory on the line for someone like Herschel, it's basically a tied race. But I think that's getting over too fast to, I think it's very different in Georgia if it's for the balance of power or not.
Yes.
Momentum, just the whole feeling. Because people at that point also can tune out.
Ideally,
like if Republicans do take the Senate by 51 and we go through this whole Arizona drama for a week, which is what's going to be?
Yes. They've already said it, by the way. They said it's going to be the end of the week.
Right. So, if they do, can you get people re-energized enough? If we did just take back the House and the Senate, and they felt like we didn't do it in a way that as fantastically as they would have liked to do it. I mean, no one had a wave. The Democrats didn't have a wave either.
No.
It's just we're a very divided country. The close polls didn't break Republican.
That is correct.
So every poll that showed Republicans within one or two, we lost.
Right, let's go. You want to take a call?
We didn't win any of those races.
No.
And that's okay, because they didn't say that you were going to win. They actually said you were going to lose.
Yeah.
I think the polling was off on like some of these gubernatorial, like Tudor Dixon,
yeah,
way off.
Six and seven.
New York was off.
We have a lot of people watching right now. I'm going to encourage you all, because I know we're definitely kind of giving you what we feel is the true narrative of what's happening right now.
Yeah, I don't think you get any of that on cable news right now.
No, so what I'm going to ask you to do, if you are watching on social media, so if you're on Facebook, I'm asking you to share and comment and like. Do those things that really helps to get into more people's, into the algorithm. On YouTube, hit the thumbs up. You'll see the big thumbs up. Hit that thumbs up and comment as well. And if you're on Rumble, hit either, sometimes if it's on the app, it's the thumbs up. If it's on the website, it's the plus sign. Do that and make sure you're commenting in the live chat. We'd love to take some of your comments as well. But those different ways help get the word out there more as the numbers continue to grow, because we are telling you a little bit different of actually what's going on.
Give me a real analysis here. Now, let me tell you something else. I want to thank our friends at Rumble, because, you know, when you're figuring out what to say and what not to say, you don't have to worry about it. It's really a free speech zone. I want to talk about the impact.
They had their biggest day yesterday.
We did?
Rumble.
Rumble.
I don't think they put the exact numbers, but just that they broke all their
records.
Viewership records.
That's great. All right, so we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. If Nevada Jordan does not go for the Masters.
You mean Laxall?
Laxall. Well, no, Laxall, I think, will get it. So Laxall up, Masters in Arizona. Yep. Then we're at a 50-50 where Georgia makes all the difference.
Right. I mean, again...
That's
if you're claiming Nevada, if we think Nevada, really, you could take that off the list. No one's taken off the list yet, so I don't want to do that yet. But assuming Nevada goes, Laxalt.
What is the Nevada? I mean, what's the Arizona race right now? Where we are, Will, just get a set.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it right here. It's nine. Let's see. This was the last time it was reported with 66 reporting. It was 51-46, 9-26 to 8-36. With 34%. I mean, so many votes out.
Yeah,
another 500,000 There's 500,000 votes out.
And that's still the same. They have not updated the tally since that report.
And there's 400,000 votes out.
And those are for people who are obviously watching and listening live. Obviously, check if you're watching on the podcast later on.
Don't be too, if you're listening to our podcast. I mean, right now, fine with the numbers, but these numbers are going to shift every minute. So there's going
to
be a dump.
People need to understand. You're doing another podcast today.
Yeah, but I don't know when Arizona's going to dump the numbers. Yeah, I think we're getting too far ahead of ourselves.
Maybe days
for Arizona.
Could be.
Friday is what they said.
Yeah. What does this do for President Trump or not do? I think politically it's
not great.
Yeah, I think that's right.
If you were 100% behind Trump running again, and
does making an announcement next week with Georgia up in the air mistake?
If it's definitive, I mean, you're getting ahead of the election being.
You figuring out who you advance in some of these candidates, though, that
those were all Trump guys.
All Trump and reacted.
Yeah, I think taking too much away from him is also like
we're all a little in a
daze,
in a funk because of it not being really what we all hoped it to be. And I think that's okay, to be honest with our audience. However, Pelosi potentially probably gone. Speaker of the House.
Chuck Schumer right on the edge.
Yeah,
right.
So there are some wins here, and there's a good chance. There's at least a chance.
Republicans have control of Congress.
Right. And then,
at the end of this week.
Then that's a
win. So we won. I mean, it was worth all the effort. And it's worth also the blood, the loss. You won. At the end of this week, we could have won the war.
Yeah.
We might have lost a lot of battles along the way, lost a lot of troops along the way.
Yeah.
But ultimately, there's more of us standing in Washington than there will be them, likely.
But that's a good way to say it. And like even
there'll
Lee Zeldin,
be more Republicans on Capitol Hill than Democrats.
I think you have to say about Lee Zeldin, who's a friend of ours and someone we work with closely. Brought people over the line, and I think those five seats or so that switched on Long Island.
So we beat the head of the DCCC.
I mean, talk about that.
So I mean, that's a huge victory. So again, New York seat, that'd be like the equivalent of again taking out like a Rick Scott for the Senate side. So just a huge race. I mean, those were those kind of wave moments. I don't know that we're going to see, we didn't see a ton of them, but there's reasons why as Republicans don't give up. I don't think it's the issues, the messaging. Now, what we did learn is a couple of things. One is abortion poll number two, and only about 3% behind the economy.
So the suburban women, that was a big issue for them.
Yes. I mean, it was the number two issue in the country.
Yeah.
And not like with a 30-point difference either. Like, almost the number one issue.
Yep.
Just a few points off than the exit polls. Here's where we're also hurting in exit polls. Between the 18 to 29 vote, Democrats have a 28-point lead.
Big.
That goes up to, so with 30 to 44, that's like in our age demographic, Democrats shrinks down to a 2-point lead. But you would think, again, with a bad economy,
Yeah.
Especially with that group, I'd say when you get start, you know, older than 35, you start thinking a lot more about the economy. They still don't, you know, they still are favoring Democrats slim. Then when you get 45 to 64, it's Republicans plus 11, 65 plus, Republicans plus 13. So they've got some big, remember, even when we're winning the age groups, we're not winning it the way they are.
Yes.
So they
that's an interesting phenomenon. And, well, we've got a lot more analysis. We're going to take your calls also at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Also, don't forget, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Just talking about the broadcast today. Look, folks, I mean, obviously a lot of analysis has gone into this. We have a whole support team behind the glass, so you don't see. You see, of course, you see the three of us on the air today. But all of this work, and then all of our government affairs work, and all of the litigation, all of that because of your support of the ACLJ. Then they're going to be doing their podcast this afternoon, producing a lot of content, our social media teams. So we encourage you to go to aclj.org. We're in a matching challenge. In November, December is how we determine our budgets for next year. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for aclj.org. And Logan, you want people to continue to share and like these feeds so it continues to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Please share, comment, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're going to monitor the numbers. I don't think on this show today, and we're done at 1 p.m. Eastern time, that we're going to have any definitive answer on Arizona yet. Nevada looks good for Republicans. That hasn't been put in our column yet. Alaska, they don't know the winner, but it's two Republicans battling it out. So that's now in our column. So we're at 49. The question is if you can looks like we're going to get Nevada, so maybe at 50. So then the question is it going to be determined by the runoff in Georgia or the remaining outstanding hundreds of thousands of votes in Arizona, which I don't think we will have an answer on until much
later. You'd help Arizona later. Just to make it, you know, chill compared to going into, yes, obviously you want to win in Georgia. But
listen, if we pull out Arizona, we're going to talk to Rick Grenell about it.
Like they're saying there's an estimated 800,000 votes still outstanding in Arizona.
I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot of votes.
As many votes have been counted almost.
Right? Kelly is up over Blake Masters by about 80,000-90,000.
Yeah, but when you have that many votes,
that's a lot.
It's almost the entirety of their winning percentages right now. So let's say right now it's, what does it say? 928,000 votes for Mark Kelly right now, and how many votes for Blake Masters?
927 versus 830.
And 700,000 are unaccounted for.
So that's, so as many votes as come in for these candidates.
That's what I'm saying.
Still outstanding.
And we know there was a mess in Maricopa, and they tried to keep the polls open late. There was a court. I mean, there could be legal issues there.
Yeah, turned down.
Hopefully not. Hopefully the votes come in, they get counted, and the Republican wins.
They will, but they did not. The courts did not.
It's weird. I don't know about
it. It's just state laws are different in every state. Let's take a couple of calls.
Very goofy, what the videos. We were playing this. It was.
Yeah,
it was the only place in the country that happened, but it's going to be a pretty significant place.
Could be outcome determinative.
Yeah, and I just, you know, if we get control of the Senate and the House, your hard work is worth it because ultimately you won the war.
Well, because so Nancy Pelosi's retired.
Don't let CNN, MSNBC, even Fox, don't let them put you down too far because they're just. They try to pick too big of winners and losers.
Yeah, I think when you see something like a Fetterman win, it breaks a lot of people. It breaks a lot of people's hearts.
But if you win in Pennsylvania,
We said it was going to be very, very.
I know
difficult.
That, but I think when they just see these.
Oz never had a lead,
never once
in any poll.
All right, I'm saying that they made that one a very big one.
Of course, it was a big one,
and it just
you got to try and win some of those.
All right, let's take some calls. Like you said, let's go to Ronald in South Carolina on line one. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Enjoyed your show very much and all the work you've done to get us to this point here. Really appreciate it. And all the other government watchdogs out there, too. My question is that because of the issues that many voters went to the polls for, that has been literally dumped on the country through the policies and the practices of this current administration, how come it was this big tug of war that went on, you know, yesterday and
because the country is not a clear. The country's divided 50-50. I mean, when you really look at it, the country 50-50, and then you're fighting.
The second most important vote was abortion.
Right.
So that hurts Republicans.
Yes.
So the number one issue hurt Democrats, and they're losing.
Right.
I mean, Nancy Pelosi's lost her job, and maybe Chuck Schumer, too. So that's pretty big. So our issue on the economy by being about 10% more important to voters than abortion carried us over the edge.
Yeah.
Barely.
But we're fighting on the margins for percentages.
On the margins. And abortion polled way higher on exit polls, and I get that, because if you called someone up randomly, it's kind of like calling them, say, do you support Donald Trump? You're also not going to say, like, oh, yeah, I'm such a big fan of abortion. That's not necessarily what people are voting on. I will tell you this. This is how much education is needed in the life fight, okay? I mean, we couldn't pick the timing of when Roe versus Wade is overturned. And honest to God, I'll give up an election cycle over overturning Roe versus Wade.
If exactly. That was the
yes. Long term.
Yes, no question.
That's more important than 2 years.
Yep.
And it, by the way, it may end up that we got overturned Roe versus Wade and we got back the House and the Senate. Well, yeah.
That's why we're trying to, you know.
Think about that in a big picture. We overturned Roe versus Wade because of the judicial nominees that we had to fight hard for and took political hits over.
Yes.
From moderate voters. Russian, you know, through and things like that. And then they overturned Roe versus Wade. A lot of confusion in the country. Get these ballot initiatives on,
which are totally confusing.
But even in Montana, this was interesting. The referendum to require care for infants born alive failed.
That's hard to believe.
By 5 points.
That means what? Lack of education, or not explaining it, or coming up with these initiatives too soon.
Too soon.
Not my view is let the, on the cases.
There are a lot of them, they were
the
triggered
dust
by the
settle.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they had the trigger laws. We should let the dust settle, and then
we're winning in a lot of legislatures.
Yeah, I think we're going to win
laws
in the legislatures.
So, like California, it's going to be the normal. The California, the perinatal passed.
Yes,
easily 65%. Kentucky Amendment 2, which would take a right of abortion, is clear that it's not in the Constitution. The legislature can legislate it. Failed only by a few points, but exactly kind of what we were predicting.
Even
there.
Though Rand Paul won by what, 30%?
Like, I think 15 or so, yeah. Something big.
So
right. It was called immediately. Michigan, right to abortion, 56%. Yes. That's now codified in the Constitution.
So this is where
Montana,
we
talked about
ahead.
Vermont, right to reproductive autonomy. That's full on 9 months, 76%.
All right, we're taking your call.
Maybe not shocking in Vermont,
no.
Michigan.
800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to all this? You want to try to grab another one, Logan?
Yeah, we can go ahead and take one more call. Let's go to Nancy in Georgia on line 5. You're on the air, Nancy.
Hi. I just wanted to say I've been in politics for several years here in Georgia working. The Trump trashing camp and DeSantis, if you look, they both won big. And it's based on the fact that they have good policies. I think that's what Republicans need, to focus on their good policies. The Senate race, Herschel and them need to come back with more policy fixes, and the fact that I do believe Brian Kemp is going to be the number one person. And he said already he would to help Herschel through the, over the line.
Yeah.
Yes. I think he could now take a lot of his resources, which Stacey Abrams was matching, you know, probably quadrupling.
Right. But now Brian Kemp could play a major role.
But now he's not worried about his race, which was...
If this is decisive, Brian Kemp may be the biggest player in the Georgia one.
Yes, but he doesn't usually take that kind of spotlight. He doesn't seek it out that way.
No.
And, again, he's a different personality. I don't know that Donald Trump was attacking Brian Kemp the last year and a half. I know he wasn't happy with the election stuff there with all those guys, but that was 2 years ago. He obviously started with DeSantis a little, but that's because they're both looking for presidential runs.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if DeSantis gets in, he's going to have to attack Trump if Trump is in. So, like, this is
right.
Politics is a big boy sport.
Full contact.
I think our folks are learning that more and more now, is that got involved with, like, Donald Trump and got involved with this, like, all the rallies and the fun is how tough this is.
Yeah, the rallies are the entertainment. And
it's good.
Yeah, no, it rallies the troops, but you gotta have policies.
But, like, look, it didn't matter that Barack Obama couldn't get big crowds.
It did not.
Like, that's not what people were voting on. They weren't voting on Barack Obama's rally or Donald Trump's rally. They were voting on one, the economy, and then number two, very close, abortion. We lose on abortion.
I think
we don't win every economy vote either, because we're the tax cut party. We're not the party of more $1,500 checks.
Which is what
a lot of blue states want.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take your calls because we got a whole half hour of this broadcast up. We're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell a little bit later in the broadcast at 800-684-3110. So I want to encourage you to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, tell everybody what they need to do if they're on our social media.
That's right. A lot of you are watching right now on social media. I'm going to ask you to do a few different things. If you're on Facebook, like, share, comment, do all those things right now. If you are if you're watching on Rumble, hit either the thumbs up or the plus sign. You'll see either one of those. Hit that comment as well in the live chat and comment on the post. And if you're on YouTube, thumbs up, comment, and obviously share as much as you can with your friends, because we are trying to grow this as much as possible. Also, if you're on YouTube, subscribe. If you're on Rumble, subscribe. Do that right now. If you're on Facebook and you're seeing this and you don't know about us, hit that like or follow button. Hit those notifications on. Do all those things you need to do to make sure we do the show each and every day. Visit ACLJ.org for more information.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the air. We're going to be joined by Rick Rinnell, too, because he's on the ground in Arizona, and I think that...
Give everybody some confusion there. I think it's important for people to understand where we actually are. I'm talking about all the media we follow.
So the House, we're going to wait till like a shake. So obviously, Republicans are leading there.
Looks like the House will go Republican.
Barely, but yes. I mean, it looks
so
like at least
Nancy Pelosi's retired as the Speaker of the House.
By the end of the week, probably
the end of the week. The Senate, which last night was
Republicans
looking pretty
bleak.
Republicans
are in the lead right now.
Yeah.
49-48. So Republican. we are waiting for the final outcome in Nevada, which could get you to 50. Laxalt's in the lead. And Arizona, where almost half the vote is still out. Masters is behind. But half the vote is still out. I mean, so that with one big dump, that could switch. And a lot of those votes we know are from the machines that weren't working that have to be hand counted.
Yep. And they said that's going to be Friday or weekend.
The good news, it sounds,
is
like people did do what Donald Trump said, did do what Rick Rinnell said, did do what Carrie Lake said, which is
stay there and vote.
They got their vote in on paper.
Yeah.
And
then the runoff in Georgia is going to be significant because it's a...
Either way, because let's say we don't pull off Arizona.
Then it's the outcome determinative.
Or for some reason Nevada goes...
So people need to understand that Georgia may or may not be outcome determinative. And this is what we mean by outcome determinative. If, in fact, Laxalt wins in Nevada and Masters wins in Arizona, you still want to win Georgia as a Republican because that gives you a bigger margin, 52-48. If Masters does not win in Nevada, assuming Laxalt does, then Georgia's outcome determinative. And that is going to be a gigantic fight. I'd love to hear from our friends in Georgia. We're on a lot of stations in Georgia at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Nevada and Arizona, too, would be good to hear from. Again, 800-684-3110. Do you want to take a call?
Yeah, let's go to the folks. Phil in New York on line 4. Hey, Phil.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Thank you very much for taking my call. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks.
I don't know that there will be a runoff in Georgia. That should not be taken for granted because apparently and unfortunately, Warnock is very close to 50%. But if there is, I think, and I'm a fervent Trump supporter, that he should announce he is not running for president, get behind DeSantis, and then DeSantis should get very strongly behind Herschel Walker.
So this is an interesting political calculation.
If you do look at the number, by the way, I get how people get confused. Because you look at the number, you say Warnock is only like 0.6 from getting to 50.
Yeah, but
plus
one. But there's not many votes.
We don't know if there's any. I mean, technically, the number is like...
Aren't they at 99% counted?
This is like looking for the absentee and like the true absentee.
So
like
it's
the military,
not like the
military vote can come in a little late.
What generally... you've done Georgia politics. What generally happens in runoffs? Not usually good for Republicans.
It should be
but
in a state like Georgia,
time,
but it wasn't.
Yeah.
So we have a history now. We know, okay, Herschel is obviously not able to get to the same level as like the Kemp.
Right.
He's got some flaws. And everybody, we've talked about it openly, so that's not like a question. So does Warnock. I mean, they've both been accused by wives and ex-wife of violence. So you got that. You got extreme politics on both sides.
Yep.
Herschel very right, Warnock very left.
Yep.
Communication-wise, Warnock is better.
Order, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go and like,
although
even
Herschel
if it's a complete,
decent in the debate,
but even if it's like a complete lie, he could deliver
but
better.
Kemp, you got to understand, Kemp won in Georgia by almost 10%,
and he had to focus on winning because he had a machine up against him that almost beat him last time.
Right, so he wins by almost basically double digits, and Walker is not pulling it out at this point without a runoff, and then the runoff significance will be the most if, in fact, there is a. Outcome determinative race in Georgia.
If it's not, if Republicans are in, have got to 51 without it, so Arizona goes our way and Nevada stays our way, then it's who's it worth more to? And I think it's Republicans to add another seat.
Yes.
Democrats.
Oh, I'd fight
not,
for that seat even if you were at 51-49. Absolutely.
And I think it's easier to get Republicans excited for it than because it gives you, we kind of had a comeback at this last, by the end of this week, We might be feeling a lot.
This is why you got to give real analysis.
You can't all just like freak out in one.
Oh, and it's part of this is ratings for them.
Listen, you would like to wake up and not have this.
No, sure. I know, but you get what? Guess what?
We live in America. Don't give up yet, because we could be in charge of both chambers of Congress. That is huge.
All right, we'll take your calls when we come back. 800-684-3110. Rick Rennell joining us.
So we want to take you out west right now because there's two races there. So we're talking about Washington, D.C.,
by the way,
and we control Congress. And Rick Rennell, who is our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, has also been a lot of campaigns, a campaign expert, a communications expert. And Rick is on the ground in Arizona, where a little bit less than half the votes have not been counted. So, Rick, you actually tweeted out that Republicans will win the seat in Nevada, and Laxalt's in the lead there. And Arizona, where Masters is behind. But again, I said there's so many votes out. I mean, you got 40% of the vote out. So we've been trying to talk to our listeners this way, too. We would have all liked to wake up, Rick, this morning, and you know, we had the House, they had the Senate by many votes, and we didn't have to have this conversation. But we are still in the running to take both the House, we retire Nancy Pelosi, and the Senate, and retire Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think, you know, instead of giving you my opinion, how about I just give you some data? And the reality is that last night, when, you know, we hit about midnight or 12:30, Blake Masters was about 275,000 votes down. Yeah. And this morning, he is down by 89,969 votes. And we had a press conference this morning here in Maricopa County. And they announced that there are 450,000 ballots still to count. And we have been winning that dump, that ballot dump, every time they've done it, we Republicans, by 70%. So if you just assume the trend of what they've been doing, because they're all election day votes, not only is Kari Lake going to be the next governor of Arizona, Abe Hamadeh is going to be the next attorney general of Arizona, but Blake Masters is going to win the Senate seat. So it's pretty exciting. I will tell you this, that Abe Hamadeh is leading the Republican ticket because he's only down by 3,987 yep. votes.
I spoke to him this morning.
This is Kari Lake and Abe are for sure winning. And I'm confident of a Blake Masters win.
So let me ask you this, Rick, because you had the incidents in Maricopa County yesterday with the voting machines. They, you know, people stayed in line, did what people asked, and voted. When do you think we're going to know? Because the media, including the conservative media, I mean, I'm going to say media generally, this is all ratings issues right now. They're trying to figure out when do you think we have a definitive position in Nevada, because not Nevada, in Arizona, because if Nevada does go to Laxalt, which looks like it is, and Nevada were and Arizona were going to go to Masters, then Georgia, although still very important, is not outcome determinative. When do you think we know this in Arizona?
You've been around a long time, Jay, to figure out this media ploy, because yep. they want everyone to be on pins and needles, turning on the television yes. all the way through the runoff in Georgia.
Yeah, they've done a good job so far, I have to say, because it kept me up till about 3 a.m.
Well, I think the reality is that when we define by, you know, definitive, we just now are trapped in the system where the voters, the local vote counters, are taking days and days and days to get through ballots. I think it's unacceptable. I hope somebody like Kari Lake completely changes the system. But the long answer is we may not know officially until like Friday or next Monday. But I think the reality is we are about to see a changeover today in the lead, and we won't look back.
Okay. Of course, when you say Friday or Monday, it's as if, you know, you don't work the weekends to get this resolved. I mean, the part of this that is frustrating is, as soon as it starts in Maricopa County, you wake up in the morning, boom, it's open and it's not working. And you say to yourself, in the year 2022, can we not figure out how this doesn't make sense? And I felt bad for the poll workers because they were very, Rick, were out there, very frustrated by this. I'm talking about the volunteers. They're not trying to do anything. They're just trying to get the machine to work. And then people would go to another voting station, but they were already off the roll in the other. I mean, but it looks like people did vote.
Look, I'm here in Maricopa County, and I got to tell you, from the Starbucks barista this morning to you know, my hotel maid to the Uber driver, every single person is absolutely outraged that we live in America and yet we can't figure out how to count votes. I know elementary school students who can count faster than the Maricopa County counters. It's a disgrace.
I'm gonna say this also. Look, these races are really important. And as the numbers get clearer, you're going to see this is where the lawyers have to start looking very carefully when you get to these kind of narrow wins. So, you know, everybody's on full alert. Don't kid yourself. I think people are more prepared this time than maybe last time.
Yes.
And it was also very limited. It's not a mass problem.
It wasn't six states.
And there was something in New Jersey for a little bit yesterday, and they got that fixed, but it was not outcome determined.
In Pennsylvania, those weren't going to be outcome determined. No. Like the ones that were misstated.
So, Rick, let's go to the overall aspect. And we're taking calls at 800-684-3110. I want to get your overall impression. So, Georgia, which we knew was going to be, you know, Kemp wins by a big margin. Herschel Walker right now behind, but it doesn't look like that. I don't think Warnock gets to. Well, he may, but right now it doesn't look like 50 plus one. Georgia's either going to be outcome determinative for the Republicans or a little bit of a cushion. How do you see it?
Well, look, Adam Laxalt in Nevada is currently up by 25,000 votes. And what's left to count are our votes. It's rural. It's Republican votes.
Okay.
He's winning. So you can take that to the bank. And by the way, Joe Lombardo is winning. Those are two big red wins over two Democrats in Nevada.
Right.
And when you combine what's happening in, you know, you'll hear today that Abe Hamadeh and Carrie Lake go up in Arizona. So when you combine this, look, I think that it was a big red wave. The entirety of television media in our country lives in New York City and Washington, D.C.
Right.
So the reason why they're saying there was no red wave is because in their neighborhood of New York and Pennsylvania, we had two big losses because they told us Lee Zeldin was going to win, and I think he came close, and he was a great candidate. We didn't win. Oz was a disappointment in that race. They didn't win. But look, you know, Tudor Dixon in Michigan was up against millions and millions of dollars on the abortion issue.
Yes.
So all politics is local. I think that the reality is, when you look at this, Jay, Donald Trump handpicked in the primary Ted Budd, J.D. Vance, Adam Laxalt, and Blake Masters. I believe that all of them are going to go into the Senate. Handpicked in the primary when they were not up. Some of them were down. Donald Trump picked them. Donald Trump delivered four major Senate candidates who turned out to be future senators.
That's true. I mean, especially if they win. And I'll take it a step further on this is, you know, we said on this broadcast, and Rick was part of these discussions, that a red wave does not mean that you win by these super majorities. But if you flip the House and the United States Senate, that the Speaker of the House is not Nancy Pelosi and the Majority Leader of the Senate is not Chuck Schumer, that's a red wave. You've taken over both houses of Congress.
Well, and the investigation, the way that Washington's able to look into the Biden administration or to decide not to appropriate the funds to the IRS expansion.
These are huge.
That's already likely going to happen because of the House. But if you can get the House and Senate working together, I think, again, yes, it's some margins that are tighter. That's why Herschel's
race will still be important. But we said it was going to be tight. Jordan said it.
Yeah,
these
I mean,
were
no poll ever
races.
Showed us. Some of these polls never showed us even winning, and most of them showed ties.
Yeah,
so we won some, we lost some, and some we're waiting for.
Yeah, and Rick, so we never said that this is going to, you know, Laxalt is going to win by 14%. We said we think he would win by a couple of percentage points.
And he is going to win by a couple of percentage points. Like, let's be honest, too. The entirety of the U.S. media focused on Carrie Lake as the Trump picked, endorsed, acting like Donald Trump candidate. They made Carrie Lake the person that was running that most represented Donald Trump. She's going to win and be the governor of Arizona. And so I think you've got to also put into that Donald Trump win category handpicking Carrie Lake, who was outspent and down in the primary polls.
Yep.
And he said, nope, she's the best candidate. I'm behind her. He did the same thing with Abe Hamadeh.
Yep.
Abe was not out in the lead. He didn't have the most money. He said, that's the candidate that's going to be the best. He did the same with Blake Masters. Blake was being outspent and was not up in the polls. But Donald Trump said, this is the guy. This is the guy that's going to do
it. It's interesting.
I believe they all win.
Yeah. What's interesting, of course, you know, we don't have time to talk about it because we're running out of time on this segment. But Rubio in Florida and DeSantis, of course.
Vance in Ohio.
And Vance in Ohio. Those are huge wins.
I mean, you can say it both ways. And Rick, thank you for joining. In one way, you can say, oh, why were Republicans saying all these races like Tudor Dixon that were even... Well, we also... That forced Democrats to spend money there, like
sure.
Time, three times the amount of money they would have spent. They didn't spend it in Arizona or Nevada now. They might be kicking themselves that they didn't spend it in Nevada. If it lacks all wins by like 25 or 30,000 votes, that's findable votes. You know, that was means, you know, and again, we were outspent, still carry the day. If Rick is right, we should be celebrating by this week.
By the end of the week, first or next, because they don't work over the weekends. We'll take your calls in the next segment at 800-684-3110. If you're holding, stay on the line. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Take your calls. Give you that opportunity to speak, ask questions, make comments all over the country.
A lot of people on social media platforms, yeah. And a lot of people on radio and satellite radio as well.
Because a big race, and I want to go to Cassandra first in North Carolina. It was a big race with Ted Budd. North Carolina was one that you wanted to hold that Burr seat, has been trending Democrat for the last few election cycles. Ted Budd won pretty early in the night. It wasn't like right away, but it was pretty early in the night. So Cassandra, welcome to Secular on the Air.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call and for all you do.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say that in our instant-minded society, I think we need to remember that the battle is not going to be won instantly. This is a battle that's going to be won in increments and degrees, and we need to stand the line and look to the horizon.
I think you're exactly right. We overturned Roe versus Wade this year. It sent shockwaves through it, good and
politically,
bad. Freak some people out. Voters out, others were like, you know, exuberant and ready for that next battle in the state. Okay, so then you had that. Then you have, of course, the Trump factor. Then you have these new candidates, many of which might win, like Rick was just going through. So the media quick to jump on this and that. There, that's why we're bringing you a totally different analysis than anybody's brought, which is that at the end of this week or Monday, Republicans have a very good shot of controlling both the House and the Senate. These House numbers are a little tougher to figure out right now.
Yeah, because
there's so many.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Donald in South Carolina.
Yeah, hey, Donald.
It was great to have you have the opportunity to speak to you. You guys do great work.
Thanks.
And we are really thankful for what you do. I just donated this morning, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Have a question, and I was really pleased to hear Rick Grinnell and what he uplifted my spirits today by hearing what he just said. But I have a question about Georgia, and it's a question about the numbers. I'm an African American. Mr. Kemp got 2.1 million votes yesterday, and Herschel Walker is at 1.9.
Yep.
So that means that 200,000 people went in the voting booth and voted for Mr. Kemp, and they didn't vote for Herschel.
Right.
And I think that's a strategic question that someone needs to answer.
Yes.
I mean, either 200,000 Democrats went in and didn't like Ms. Stacey Abrams and they voted for Kemp, or 200,000 GOPers went in that booth and voted for Mr. Kemp and didn't vote for Herschel, and that this race could be over right now.
Yeah, Donald, or both. I mean, there were
80,000 for a Libertarian. So take out of the 200,000.
You had an 80,000 Libertarian.
80,000 went there.
So I think there was some anti-Stacey Abrams voting on Democrats where she was scaring them with some of the statements she said about, you know, Georgia being the terrible place to live. And I think people are worried about the economy.
She got desperate and started making crazy statements.
Crazy, yeah. So I think her candidacy kind of went off the rails a little bit there at the end.
It was clear she was going to lose.
Also, on the other hand, I think you do have people that voted for Kemp, but they could not pull the lever for Herschel Walker. So now what is going to be significant there is...
Yeah, there are people I'm sure left it blank.
Too. Left it blank. So here's what's the aspect of this. If Arizona and Nevada go Republican, it'd still be nice to win Georgia in the runoff because it gives you a 52-48 margin, but it's not
really
outcome determined.
We can refocus our attention then. Like, we can all refocus.
If we don't win Arizona, then Georgia's outcome determinative.
Yeah, and
you
got to
pull out
Rick
every
said,
legal stop you got.
That's what... he's confident in Nevada, but and he was confident in Kerry Lake and Abe. But he did say it looks like Blake can do it.
Yeah, he it was
the numbers are out Rick there said for, there.
He
for
said,
it to be
he said Abe yes, Kerry Lake yes,
Rick we
and that's what he thinks.
Blake we know the numbers are out. There's yes. enough numbers out to that should not, it's not even too close to call yet. It's like if 50% of the elections, it's
yeah.
insane.
Yeah, it is unreal that this is still a problem. All right, let's take Dan's call in Pennsylvania.
Hey Dan.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
I'm a member of the ACLJ.
Great.
And really approve of what you guys are doing.
Thanks.
My statement is that we lost the battle here in Pennsylvania, but we got high hopes we're going to win the war.
Well, and I think, Dan, we've always done this in Pennsylvania. Donald Trump won it in the first 2016. He lost in 2020.
Always close.
If you can make the Democrats have to spend the hundreds of millions of dollars that you got to spend in Pennsylvania, which is what it cost, we keep expanding our map. It does not mean you win when
right.
you expand your map. It just means they're scared that they're going to lose. Like, even though Lee Zeldin lost, a lot of Democrat money went to Hochul.
But also, Lee Zeldin lost, but a lot of, there was like five,
House, right,
five House
like,
seats picked up because he did so well.
Including the head of the DCCC losing.
Yeah, so, that's a big loss too.
Yes, because he had as many resources as he won.
So,
some of it is just, again, when you play in more states, you're going to have more losses.
All right, let's get.
I would have liked to see a bigger number in the House, especially. I thought, remember, 6 months ago, we thought we couldn't even take the Senate.
Right. But the House, we thought, well, you and I have been, we've been very cautious.
But I because I didn't see any polls showing any 10-point leads for us.
So
some
was,
for them that we cut into. But, you know, if you cut into Gretchen Whitmer's, I would have loved to see Gretchen Whitmer lose, a donated to Dixon. But the truth is, we made them have to fight that out.
Yeah.
Those are all resources that didn't go to Arizona or Nevada. Just remember that. Like,
yeah.
That's how you've got to think about this. As we expand our big tent party, and you can see the Republican Party is pretty big tent, that you're going to have more losses. You can still win, have more wins than losses, which I think we will come out on Election Day. I truly believe that we are going to have more wins than losses. But we played in states that we've never played in or just recently have been playing
in. New York is one of them.
Yeah,
and
I mean, that's really them. Like...
And the overwhelming win in Florida. Let's take Linda's call from Minnesota, line 4. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm going to jump right into it. I want you to help me understand something. The Republican, Dr. Jensen, supposedly lost. What I don't understand is that Walz would not debate him. All the only ads, pretty much only ads you saw on TV were about killing babies. So many people, I'm in the retail business, I'm out there all the time, and staunch Democrats that used to come in there and didn't want to talk to me came up to me and said, we got to get this guy out of here. I mean, you know, people are being murdered in the womb. They're being murdered in the streets. There's streets named after criminals and all that. Help me to understand. How does this happen? How?
Because you live in Minnesota. It's pretty blue. I mean, it was the home base of the Black Lives Matter movement. Burnt down their entire city. Didn't rebuild it.
Yep.
Still boarded up. I don't know what part of Minnesota you're in. It has a kind of an independent leaning state. You can sometimes get... I think that's why Republicans have hope there always, because you never quite know. It's at the state level.
Yeah.
But it's Minnesota. It's you put some interesting people before. And I think, too, a lot of these places have lost population.
Yes, big demographic shifts.
And the people who have stayed behind are the harder left. I think we saw that probably in New York lost probably, it looks like they lost about 1.5 million Republican votes.
Which is DeSantis won by.
And I'm not saying everyone, but
no.
Literally over a million Republican voters left New York. I would imagine Minnesota might not be that amount, but
close.
Not debating is also a strategy. I'm not always against that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not sure you have to always.
Some of these debates, I think, is just out of control. And
so,
they're a waste of time.
As we end the broadcast, Jordan and Logan will be back on the air this afternoon on the Secular Brothers podcast. Go to secularbrothers.com. Tells you all the places you can download it as a regular audio podcast, or you could see it on Rumble, where it's often featured, and on Facebook and YouTube. So we encourage you to check out secularbrothers.com. ACLJ Action moving forward. You should get information there at acljaction.org. And let me also say, we're in a matching challenge campaign. And November and December are the 2 months that set our budget for the whole year next year. Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Jordan's going to let you know how you can do that. We encourage you to do it today.
All right, folks. The number you call, or you go to acLJ.org. That's the best place to go. You'll see the matching challenge right there at acLJ.org. And again, you can double the impact of your donation. And this is a great time to think about, you know, maybe you've got to cut back on your donations, but you still want to give. A $10 donation will be matched by another donor. So that's like $20. $50 will be matched by another donor. That's $100. Be a part of it at ACLJ.org. There's a lot of battles to fight.